Mr. Israel Tone.
He said, how are you finding the rations? How are the men feeling about the food? So I said, well, we're all hungry. We're hungry all the time. We don't get enough food. He nodded his head. He didn't argue about that. He just nodded his head. He said, well, you'll be pleased to know we'll be going on to general service rations, and there will be more food and variety. I also hope to get a contractor to provide some form of canteen service. And he went off on his way. And I felt very proud to be able to tell my friends, mates, that I'd spoken to, I think it was Brigadier Wingate at the time, and that he told me that we were going to have better rations, and in fact there was going to be a contractor who would provide some form of extra meals as a sort of a canteen situation, just in the jungle, and it wouldn't be in a wooden or brick built edifice, but it was in a large tent area. And in fact, they used to, the Indians who were providing us with this service used to cook what they call beef burglar hamburgers today, in ghee, I think it is. This awful smelling stuff, and they had these soft bun things, wherever they got those from, I don't know. But to us, they were a great addition to our food supply. But of course, we could only use this canteen thing if we weren't training out somewhere, but only a thing we could use occasionally. It wasn't something that was open all day. But our food situation improved.
What were these two terms you talk about in your memoirs of pucker kings and jossers?
Well, this is, I don't know. Between my friends and I was pretty well known because I used to play in a concert party and I had played in a dance band. So I was somebody who was known by quite a number of ordinary chaps and because of this. And at one time we formed a group who, in abbreviation, was PAAFP, in fact, and it was called Peace Any Price. This was before we met Wingate. Being impressed by Wingate and having gone through half of this training, we seemed to change our tune. And we were at the 13th King's Regiment. And knowing there are a number of people who were perhaps malingering, a number of people who were seriously ill and genuinely ill, those of us that had been ill and recovered, or hadn't been ill but carried on with the training, in fact, had taken to the life in the manner in which it was hoped that we would, we formed a term, Pucker Kings, which speaks for itself, really. So we were PKs. Those of us that didn't malinger and didn't opt out. The ones that did opt out, we called them Jossers. But we were proud to be PKs.
Any other memories that you have personally from Patheria?
Just that we were glad to leave it, in fact, to a more civilised area, slightly more civilised area. A sort of near Jansi, that area. It was only a few degrees more civilised, but we could buy some products, food from the Indians in the area. And
when did you actually go into Burma first of all?
Well, that was... We eventually... I think it, the story to be told, really, is that we travelled across India to Camilla, where we changed trains. We were about 12 days travelling across India. Where we changed trains at Camilla to a narrow gauge line to up to Dimapur, which was in the Arakan. And apparently, I didn't know at the time, but it was a sort of a headquarters, army headquarters area, supply area. From there, we marched. It took us about 8 days to Kamima. And this was a march that I think if you took it on today, you'd have to pay about £1,000 for the privilege of this walk or march, because it was most beautiful, if one could see it that way, most beautiful area to be viewing scenic wise. It was winding roads all the way up to Kohima, which was 6,000 feet, I think, above sea level. Very, very impressive. But we used to do this at night. The idea was that you couldn't do it during the day because, A, I don't think they wanted the Japanese to know what was happening in this respect. B, because the lorries used to use it during the day. It was a very, very dangerous road for lorries to use at night. So all the motor transport used it during the day. That they would be carrying supplies up to Kohima and then on to Imphal. So we had to walk at night. And this is what we did for about 6 nights. And we sort of slept during the day on the side of the hills with not very much food. But we got through it. It's an experience that I recall with a certain amount of pleasure.
Was this before or after Christmas 1942?
Well, this was after Christmas. This was in January.
What did you find at Kohima?
Not a lot. We found that was the stage two, probably, if you count Dimapur, stage one. It was stage two on our way to Imphal, which would be stage three, which would be the diving board into our entry into Burma. And so Kohima was just a temporary stop, whereupon we made our way to the plains of Imphal from Kohima.
How did you get into Burma?
Well, there was something that affected me later in Burma that I'd like to mention. That was, while we were at Imphal, they formed an advanced group of Burma riflemen and a few private soldiers and NCOs to recce the route into Burma. And a friend of mine, Stan Allnut, was one of those that was chosen to go on this route. This was in advance of the main force. And he learned quite a bit of Kachin or Karen language, say language, phrases really, I suppose, to be correct. Being able to ask, to speak to the head man of a village, asking where the Japanese were, being able to request assistance with food and for wounded men, things like that. He learned these phrases with this group, and he came back from there, and he was a close friend of mine. He taught me these phrases, and so this came in useful later on. The journey into Burma was one really that I know very little about the details. I just know that we walked and walked and walked. We carried very, very heavy packs, somewhere about 5 stone, I suppose, which is a lot of weight for every member of this, the Chindits. When you consider that these men were chosen. Well, they weren't chosen. In fact, they were. The regiment was chosen. The men themselves, the one that survived all the illnesses and the difficulties of training. Some of them were small men. Some were large men. Some were thin, and some were strong. And they weren't special men. They were just ordinary men. And some of them were probably about 32 years of age. And they carry the same weight, same pack, even whatever their physique. So we made our way into Burma, and we came to the River Chinwin, and we had to cross it. And I think there have been a lot of descriptions of how the Chinwin was crossed by people who have more knowledge of organizing it. It's been done so many times, I don't think I can add anything to the difficulty in crossing the River Chinwin. With the mules and the bullocks and so on that we took with us. It was very, very difficult, but we managed it. And if anybody wants to read it about how difficult it was, they could find it in a book, I'm sure. And I felt at the time, because somebody said to me, "Were you ever afraid?" Well, I can tell you that there were times I was afraid, but I wasn't afraid when we went into Burma. It was like an adventure. I couldn't believe it. It wasn't true, really. It was a bit of a dream situation. And so there we found ourselves across the River Chinwin and marched on towards the jungle area, where we call it jungle. People have different ideas of what jungle is about, but jungle really, as far as I'm concerned, is cover. And I was one of those who welcomed the jungle. I liked the jungle because it was cover. We weren't in the open. We weren't exposed. I think we had a certain amount of confidence as well that we could deal with the jungle. Some of us, I did certainly. So we eventually came to the situation where we needed airdrops. That was how we were being supplied, which I think probably everybody knows if there's anything about the Chindits, and that was the main feature of the Chindits, that they were their supplies were dropped by air as opposed to being sent in any other way. And at the airdrops we received cigarettes and biscuits and raisins and chocolate, a bit of chocolate, sometimes cheese. And we managed quite well, making porridge from the biscuits and sometimes adding raisins to it, and I think we did pretty well, really. I don't want to come to look back, but we kept in such good spirits. I think some of us were quite happy in a way, although it was tough. It was tough, very, very tough, but perhaps we felt we achieved something each day at the end of the long walks and climbs and things that we did when we settled down for a rest. So I suppose there was a certain amount of satisfaction that we'd achieved what we had done. We knew we were behind the Jap lines. We were sent on one occasion to attack a garrison at, I think it was Pinlibou, somewhere like that, one of those names. And we were told that we were going to attack the Japanese. I think we felt frightened at that point. But we made our way to this area under the leadership of our colonel commanders, and we were told we mustn't light fire, so we couldn't make tea or anything, and we were preparing to attack the village or the garrison. At the time I thought it was a village we were attacking, but apparently it was a garrison. But they changed their minds on the last minute, or Wingate changed his mind on the last minute, and we withdrew from there. So I was very thankful about that. I wasn't very keen on actually risking my life. I wasn't keen on that. But I'm prepared to do it if that's what we had to do. Well, we didn't. So from then we. A number of us split up, and the I suppose there were lucky people and unlucky people. Some of those people we split up, some of those were ultimately captured by the Japanese, some of them were involved in fighting the Japanese and lost their lives. Others just managed to avoid purely by the route they took any contact with the enemy, and I was one of those. So probably that's one of the reasons why I'm a survivor, is that wasn't from any attempt to dodge anything, but just pure luck that I didn't get involved in the early part of the expedition and in meeting any Japanese. This went on for some 4 or 5 weeks. We were marching, we were climbing escarpments, we were coming up, we were going down, up and down. We were walking through water for about 36 hours at one time. I suppose we were following a sort of a shore, river area, and we were more or less wet the whole time. And then after that, the area in which we were travelling was devoid of water, so we were short of water. So we were short of water to drink. I remember these events because I don't know the geography of the area. I can't say it was at such and such a place, such and such a place that we did this, that, or the other. I recall my column commander being told off by Wingate on the occasion where he camped at the base of some hills in a valley. And Wingate came on and told him, what are you doing here? Get up the hill, you can't, you could be mortared from them. And I'm afraid the current commander probably felt quite hurt, but he moved up the hill. And eventually we came to the River Irrawaddy. There were all sorts of things that happened in between. There was the railway had been blown up. There'd been some meetings with the Japanese on the part of Column 3, Column 8. I don't know whether they acquitted themselves well. When one reads the history of the expedition, we find in many cases a private soldier not being credited with very, very much that was good, but I suppose they were a mixed bunch, as we were, and as the officers were, in fact. Some good ones and some bad ones. Ordinary people, in fact, who reacted well or didn't react well. So, anyway, having said that, I had seen Wingate on a couple of occasions during this period, and he remembered me and just spoke to me, just said, how are you? And that was all, nothing more. We got to the Irrawaddy, and I felt when we got there that if we were going to cross that, we might as well be in Japan. And that was my own personal feeling at the time. And they did decide to cross the Irrawaddy. This was at a place just below the junction of the River Swale and the Irrawaddy. And this was a hell of a job getting across here. By that time, of course, we didn't have all the bullocks. They'd died or been eaten. We'd lost some of the mules. So I suppose the operation, as far as the senior officers was concerned, wasn't so difficult as crossing the Chimwe, because it was mainly men who had to get across. This we did, and some of us begin to wear out. I think some of the men were beginning to wear out by now. Well, we'd been doing this thing for several weeks, and on bare rations. And there we were on the other side of the Irrawaddy, and we seemed to be milling around for a few days, not quite knowing what we were supposed to be doing. This wasn't an area so much of jungle that we'd been used to. And eventually, so I gather from reading books since, Wingate decided that we should come back to India from there.
Well, we were pleased to hear this, obviously.
Some of my friends weren't very well by then. Stan Allnut, the one that taught me the language of the Karens, or the phrases, he was very ill. And we eventually got back to the near the banks of the Irrawaddy, whereupon Brigadier Wingate decided that we would cross the same point that we crossed east-west. We would cross the same place, recross, that is. He figured the Japanese wouldn't expect us to do this. In the early hours of the morning, I don't know what day it was, we approached the river, and 7th Column, of which I was a member, under Captain Colonel Jukes, we were designated to be the advance group across the river. It must have been nearly a mile wide there. And they dropped some boats from somewhere, and some natives, Burmese, to paddle them across, and I think I was probably on about the third boat. A couple of boats went off, and I think I was on about the third boat. My friend Stan Allnut had felt so bad that he went to lay down in a hut. And so I don't know what happened to him at that point. As we approached the other side, it took a long time to get across there. As we approached the other side, so the Japs opened up with mortars and machine guns and rifles on the boats and onto the people on the other side. I was fortunate in the boat I was in, it wasn't hit, but one of the boats behind me was hit by a mortar, and I suppose everybody in that boat was killed and drowned. There was some deaths on the other side of the bank. Snipers caught a signals corporal in the head. Of course, I didn't know that at the time. I found it out since. When I got ashore, my group, boat load that I was with, we sort of crawled up the bank. And there I found one of the officers of the Gulf was standing there eating a piece of cheese, eating it from a tin. He didn't seem to be very concerned about the firing at that time was still going on, but it was from an area about 400 yards north of where we landed. And one couldn't see any enemy. They were in the copse or the woods or whatever. And this officer said to me, I want you to go out beyond that paddy field and direct some grenades over onto the enemy. And I'd never used a grenade launcher before. I had no idea. So I said, well, I don't have a launcher. So he said, I'll find you a launcher. And he got me a launcher. I've only had 2 grenades. He found me another 3 grenades. He said, I want you to launch these grenades over to the enemy, onto the enemy. I didn't fancy this very much, but I just sort of crawled my way on paddy fields. Very, very difficult to maneuver on paddy fields because they're just like bogs and things. And then you, on the side of a paddy field, you get this hard area of ground, which if I'd have climbed onto that and walked along, I'd have been a sitting target for any Japs that may have been looking our way. I would have thought they would be looking our way because we'd landed, we were there. And I more or less crawled my way to the point the officer had asked me to get to, told me, ordered me to go to. And when I got there, I found I was the only one of the party that had come across to be doing anything to attack the enemy. I was by myself, in fact. There was nobody else at all. Not another soldier was within sight or anywhere around as far as I could see. And I couldn't see where the enemy were, and there was no firing at the time. So I decided that I didn't know what I should do. So I returned to the main group. And when I got there, it took quite some time, I tell you, because traversing these paddy fields isn't easy. I found they were formed up to move off. And I said, well, look, I didn't see anything to fire at. I said to my officer, that's all right, just fall in, we're going off now anyway. It was here that I learned that Captain Hastings, the officer who I admired and respected so much, had been killed in the boat, I think, that was hit by a mortar fire. I asked about him, I was told that he was on that boat. There were 65 of us that had landed. The three officers, that's a captain, a lieutenant, and a second lieutenant. There were four sergeants, two or three NCOs, junior NCOs, and probably about 50 other ranks, of which I was one. And we proceeded a few miles inland to a place that was designated as a rendezvous should anybody cross the river. It was presumably in advance pinpointed as a place to hole up. It was in a rather deep jungle area, in fact. We stayed there for 24 hours waiting to see if anybody else turned up. But nobody else cross the river at that point. In fact, it appears from what I've read since that Wingate decided that it would be, although the opposition wasn't great on the side of the river that we crossed to, I think he decided that they would be in touch with a group of Japs, a much larger force, that could probably manage to get to that point. And that's the former situation that the main 2,000 men that they were on the other side of the Irrawaddy of the Jindits wouldn't be able to cross without a great deal of danger. So I think he decided that they'd have to find their way out by different methods. A large force of Japs were a few miles away, apparently. After we stayed in this area waiting other river crossers, which didn't turn up,